Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Hey there, Glowgetters. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. Am I excited for today's show? You bet your kick-ass I am. Today, we have a very special guest by the name of Hayley Aylott. Now, for as long as the English language has been transcribed onto paper, there has been a constant need for content writing. We need written language to record events, converse over long distances, and most importantly, share information. Unfortunately, with different points of view and various language systems, the flow of information can get misconstrued if not presented correctly. Now, to solve this problem, people have studied the art of language. There are those who can manipulate words to persuade, people who can string a sentence together to create a precise image or give perfect instructions. Now, these experts understand how other humans interpret information, and they can tailor their writing to meet the needs of the audience. Now, this is the role of a copywriter. Copywriting is a profession typically associated with advertising and sales. The job of a copywriter is to take information and create a piece of writing that can convey it into an engaging, creative, and an informative way. While a large percentage of copywriting jobs are in advertising, copywriters are not limited to this field. Instead, there are a variety of jobs a copywriter can choose from. Now, if you enjoy writing, you may have entertained the thought of becoming a full-time copywriter. When you learn how to become a copywriter, you can do exactly that. So, copywriters spend their days writing prose for purposes of advertising to promote and sell goods and services, but not all of that. So, with all that fresh in your mind, let's dig a little deeper and find out of our guest today, who I said is Hayley Aylott, an accredited journalist and accomplished copywriter. Let's see if we can get her to lift the veil on this mysterious profession and discuss the process behind all the amazing and global acclaimed content under her accomplished belt. Now, Hayley knows how to captivate audiences through the raw power of storytelling. You are listening to the Kick-Ass Radio Show Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in varied male-dominated industries and female-founded businesses, and I tell you how it is. I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the Glowgetter. I hope we can keep you in good company over the coming hour. A huge shout-out to all the women working out on track and on site today all over the globe. Stay safe and have a fantastic day or night shift. And this might also be a good time for a trigger warning that today's radio show does and may contain some adult language. Let's get into it. Welcome along to Kick-Ass Radio. Hayley?
Hi, Jo. It's so lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for coming on the show and for sharing some of your valuable time with us today. I know you're super busy, but I also know we are going to enjoy your company and we're eager to get our writing skills up to speed and learn what we can off you today. So firstly, introduce us to Hayley Aylott and tell us a bit about yourself and what led you to decide to pursue a career in copywriting and also brand strategy. And we'll talk a bit more about that later. So how did it happen? Was there anything in particular that drew you to the field?
Yeah, great question. So I have a background in, I studied journalism back in uni around 9 years ago. As you can probably tell, I'm from England. So yes. Yeah, I studied in England and then, moved to Australia around 7 years ago, which, I kind of continued on the path of my career, which was predominantly in marketing and comms roles. And I did a bit of traveling as well when I started out in Australia. So, but yeah, kind of in a nutshell, I kind of moved away from journalism because there wasn't many careers in journalism. Marketing and comms was another avenue that I took. That's kind of where I was at career-wise. And then I started my business around 3 years ago, which I predominantly started in marketing and social media, and then decided that, no, I really like this, what copywriting is about, and wanted to kind of get into that, and started to get into that by joining a community called the Clever Copywriting School, which is led by the amazing Kate Toon. And that's when I, you know, found all these other copywriters and was like, right, this is a job, I can do it. And yeah, I was super excited to kind of niche down into copywriting. Because yeah, I've always had a bit of a passion for writing stories, as well as a bit of an interest in psychology. So yeah, I love working with people and finding out their why. Yeah, it really lights me up when I speak to people about their passions and their goals. And that's luckily what I get to do in this job day in, day out. So yeah, can't say that, yeah, I definitely don't love what I do, because I do.
And that's a great transition. And like journalism, it is hard. It's a lot of hard work, isn't it? And there's not a lot of opportunities to actually break out into it.
No.
So yeah, a lot of tooth and nail stuff to pursue that. So yes, letting go of that corporate conformity of journalism and stepping out of your comfort zone into content and copywriting. So were you an avid book reader? Is that where a lot of the storytelling comes from?
Yeah, I do love reading books. And as well, when I was at school, I would love, like, you know, if we got to be creative and write a story, I would love those kind of tasks. But yeah, I never knew if I was a real, like, you know, at school, you're always kind of good at one particular thing. Mm-hmm. I knew that I loved writing, but I was like, I don't know if I'm actually good at it. So yeah, it's one of those things where I've just kind of gone with what I'm passionate about and stuck with it. So yeah, I'm pretty lucky that, yeah, I've managed to find something that I love and have managed to do that throughout my career.
Right. So for our listeners that aren't exactly up to speed with copywriting, I'm an author myself, so I know what it's all about. But yeah. And it is really exciting, but let's get our basics clear. Can you tell our listeners what actually copywriting is and what do you do with it?
Yeah, so first things first, it's nothing to do with legals, because I definitely get that question a lot. Saying, oh, so you write legal stuff, and I'm like, no, that's copyright. Yeah, that's one of the biggest things that people get confused
misconception
about,
misinterpretation
of copywriting. But yeah, there's loads of different definitions if you look it up, but to me it's the art of persuasive writing, human psychology and brand personality. Mm-hmm. So in a nutshell, we're not just writers. We have to dig deep into every single brand that we work with. We have to learn about their product and service, adapt to their tone of voice, and live and breathe their values and mission, as well as learn all about who their target audience is, and, you know, really write persuasive content to attract that particular target audience. So the delivery of service is so much more than words on a document. You know, I'm not just sitting around writing on a document in a cafe. You know, there's a lot more to it. There's like the actual initial conversation with the client is all about, you know, their brand and why they started, and really unpacking that story, and then bringing that to life through the power of words. So yeah, there's a lot more to it than, you know, what meets the eye. And that's really what I love the most about it, is that it's not just sitting and writing all day. There's a lot of psychology and digging deep that goes on behind the scenes.
And that's right. You know, copywriters, they are professionals, and you've learnt and practiced your craft, and none of you were born knowing how to write excellent copy, but it's definitely a skill that, you know, you have to learn, and you have to be persistent with it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, the main objective of copywriting is kind of getting the reader's attention and interest, and then really getting them to take some sort of action. So yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell, if you wanted to, you know. But yeah, there is so much more to it.
And that's right. And copywriting is at the core of nearly every business, because businesses wouldn't be able to share their messages or their products or their services to potential customers without getting them engaged, like you said. So you have to know the ins and outs of them and target their audiences. And it is a growing industry, and I know that certainly is. And copywriting as we know it today, it's been studied and recognised, and it's an essential, a most essential part of marketing. and more so now that we have, you know, the digitizational world, and we've all got our social media. So how much do you get involved with social media content and copywriting?
Yeah, so obviously, like I say, I started my journey doing social media content management. Mm-hmm. So then I was, you know, writing a lot of different businesses, content and scheduling and that as well. So yeah, I'm pretty familiar with writing social media and it's one of my favorites. But yeah, I just had to step back because managing pages for me was a lot to take on board.
It is a lot of work. It's a lot of bloody hard work. You know, I know that firsthand. Yeah.
I definitely worship the social media managers out there because I think, you know, it's, again, a lot more than meets the eye. Just having to, you know.
Constant engagement, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. Constant engagement and looking after so many different pages is your phone is never on silent. It's constantly going off. So, yeah, for me mentally, I just had to take a step back from managing pages, but I still write businesses content. But, yeah, I just don't do the management side of things.
But just another quick question. What's the difference between copywriting and content writing?
Yeah, awesome. And I do get this a lot. And I mean, I think at this stage, in this era, it's not so much a separation. But in the old school terms, copywriting would usually be, content that takes the readers to an action. So it's probably usually more traditional sales pages, websites. Emails and lead magnets and then advertisements, whereas content writing is usually meant to be for education and entertainment purposes. So that would be more like your social media posts, blog posts, case studies, and things that are just a bit more not so much action orientated. You know, people can read and go onto other things, whereas we're not asking them to take a specific action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's more of an insight into it. And that's right. What you were saying, it's a general rule of thumb, say copywriting refers to writing marketing and promotional materials, and content writing, on the other hand, refers to writing informational or editorial stuff. So yeah, so I think that's a pretty accurate description of what each term means.
Yeah.
So in regards to yourself, now you're tell us about the brand strategy. You've branched out to brand strategy, and how best can we get our products and services magnetized with brand strategy? What kind of background do you need to become a brand strategist?
Yeah, awesome. So brand strategy is obviously the heart of any brand. So I like to say that it's the brand Bible, because it holds your secret sauce to what makes your brand special and unique. So it's things that can't be replicated by others, basically. Mm-hmm. So the way that your brand communicates, why your brand exists, your unique story and selling point. So that could be things like your mission, vision and values. And as you can tell, I'm pretty passionate about brands and them owning their why and not really following, the generic ways of communicating. Because at the end of the day, if people are going onto your website, they want to see something that's a bit different and know, why they should choose you over anyone else. So if you're kind of saying things that are the same as someone else in your industry, you're not really standing out. And as well, humans are really smart. You know, we are quite smart people, and we know now when brands are selling to us. So, you know, before it was pretty, you could get away with advertising, but now people are onto it. If they're reading something and they know that it's blatantly selling, they probably are going to disregard it.
And when you get to the bottom, but wait, there's more. Just click here.
Yes, exactly. We know all the tricks of the trade of marketing now. So us marketers have to think of smarter ways to kind of, get people on board with what we're trying to sell to them. So the way that I really describe brand strategy is working out how you want to communicate. So how you can inject your brand personality to build more of a community of people who are naturally drawn to you. Because at the end of the day, that's what we like as humans. We like to connect with other humans, and we want to buy from people that we genuinely connect with or genuinely want to learn more about and, you know, understand a bit more about where they're coming from. You know, we don't want to be working with strangers. We want to know a bit more about them and, you know, why they do what they do.
Do you ever run out of ideas? Like, you know, it's after you have so many clients, you don't run into, you know, comparing one to the other and you think, oh, that client, they run along the same lines as this client here. So you've really got to separate those businesses and those brands, yeah. Haven't you? Even though they might be, you know, they might be selling or providing the similar services, but how do you continue to creatively come up with new ideas?
Yeah, it's definitely hard. And I think that's why I haven't niched down into a specific industry for that reason as well. Because it means that I can have more creativity with the different industries that I work with. And I'm not kind of just one-sided in one industry. I think I would find that quite hard to think creatively just with one industry in mind. But the way that I tend to do it is, you know, like I say, that initial conversation is all about the client and why they started their business and really unpacking that story. Because, yeah, someone out there might have the exact same product or service as you, but they are not you. Yeah. And I think that the way that you know, the reason why you've started your business and there is some sort of reason as to why you're different to anyone else on the market, whether that's the way that you, whether that's a value that you believe in, whether you know, are ethically sourcing products from somewhere or other, like, or whether that's, you know, you only take on one client a month or something, you know, there'll be something different to another brand. So what I, you know, usually ask people to do is to go back to their why. You know, think about, why are you different to anyone else who does the exact same thing as you? Why do people come to you? What are you most known for? And how can you communicate in a way that resonates with those that you want to attract? So yeah, that's kind of what I, you know, ask a lot of my clients and get them to think about.
And you also have to be forward thinking with your clients too, to anticipate future trends and the success of their product or their service, and to grow that, you've got to allow for the growth as well, haven't you? Like the expansion of it.
Exactly. So the brand strategy, like I say, is that brand Bible, but it doesn't mean that it won't ever change because it will along the way. Yeah. As you know, if you're just starting out as a business owner, your brand strategy might look completely different in, say, a couple of years as you kind of get to know a bit more about your target audience. You know, what you might think is your target audience may be very different down the track as you get to know a bit more about who is looking at your service or product.
And I think you need to have a bit of a plan there, like only set yourself out like a 12-month plan with your marketing, because as you said, the demographic changes, and once you take on board a few clients and whatnot, you do find yourself taking a different direction and thinking, oh no, that's not really where I was wanting to direct. It's more in this field or in this manner. So definitely allow, if you've got a goal in mind or a vision in mind, allow for that to actually grow and change like after a 12-month period, I think, because, you'll definitely come across hiccups, you'll come across new ideas or new thought processes that will change your initial idea. Mm. And that's right. And brand strategy at its core is how you shape the public perception of the brand and the business, and definitely a thorough understanding of the business, the landscape, the audience. So it is equal parts research, science and art, and you're very creative, obviously. So tell us about what services and products that you offer. I know your website's brilliant, being a copywriter and a content writer. You've got an excellent website there. So tell us a little bit about what you offer to the clients.
Yeah. So A range of different copywriting services. So I can do website copy to annual reports, to award submissions. I love writing award submissions.
There's lots of them around at the moment. So yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because I love that feeling of, you know, telling that story of businesses and, you know, how they are going above and beyond in their industry and, you know, what achievements they have made as well. That's really exciting to me. And like I say, I have the social media, I have a package for social media content, and I also have the brand strategy package as well. So yeah, I have different packages and things, but yeah, I'm pretty open to people suggesting areas that they would like me to write. And yeah, there's no boundaries at this stage.
And I know it's as much as when we all start out in our own little businesses, we like to all do things ourselves, but there's a lot of the unknown. So engaging the services of a copywriter and content writer is definitely value and worthwhile. And it's like taking an express train, because we can bypass, or you can bypass, a lot of all those rabbit holes that, you know, leads us to falling into and getting overwhelmed, and you get there really quickly if you don't know what you're doing. So yes, engaging the services of yourself is definitely worthwhile.
Absolutely.
So as an intelligent creative, how do you prepare or declutter your mind to make room for your creative work that you produce? How do you set your boundaries for mental wellness so you don't get like overload and you think, oh, I just can't do this anymore, or I'm not doing this today?
Yes, I love this question. And I think it's really actually come up at the right time, because it's something that I've noticed recently in myself, that if I'm writing all morning, by lunchtime I can literally feel exhausted and I'm like, why am I so tired? Like, but yeah, it's that constant flow of creativity is really hard to keep up. Like, obviously having the flexibility to kind of choose you know, what I do each day is awesome for me, because I know that I can only do so much writing in a day. So I will only block out so much writing time and then focus on other areas of my business or other things that I can be doing that are not just writing. So yeah, I know for me personally, I work better in the morning. I write better in the morning. But yeah, anytime after lunch, my writing skills are not on point. So yeah, for me, it's writing in the morning, and then yeah, always trying to switch things up in my week. And another thing I like to do is go for walks, and just, you know, reset my mind by stepping outside, away from my desk, away from the screen, listening
that's
to a podcast.
That's so important to do that. So that's a great routine and great boundary to set. And you do need that to step away from that screen and from
the pad and pen. It becomes mentally exhausting. Yeah. And you know, keeping, you know, mental health is something that I'm really quite passionate about as well. So I know my own boundaries with that as well. And, you know, when I'm not feeling great, I will, you know, take a break and walk away and come back to it another time. So yeah, that's really quite important to me to make sure that I don't burn out and have that work-life balance that I've really wanted, and set myself up for. So yeah.
And that's, and you did say that. So decluttering your life and becoming organized, it starts with one important but easily overlooked step for everyone, and that is, as you said, you need to declutter your mind first. So you need to step away from your workstation, from your work environment, and go for that walk outside, or do a bit of exercise or activity, or go and cook or something, whatever de-stresses you, and definitely resets the mind. And you can only focus on one thing at a time. So let's face it, multitasking is overrated. So trying to answer an email, take a phone call, do the budget all at once, it's likely to leave you with lots of things half done and feeling exhausted. Exactly. So you're much more likely to make mistakes, exactly, especially in writing, aren't you, if you're not sharp with your mind at the time.
Yeah, It's taken me a while to kind of get used to that. As a business owner, you feel like you should be doing everything at once.
All the time.
And I would be switching between clients and going, oh, they've just sent me an email. But now I really block out that time to dedicate to one client. Because like I say, if I'm working with loads of different industries as well, it's really, really hard to switch from, you know, say beauty to real estate or, you know, how can I can't do that.
Polar opposites.
It takes a really big toll on my mind, so I have to be mindful of what, you know, blocking out a time for each client and then working on that project, and then, you know, blocking out another time for another project. But yeah, again, that's taken me a long a few years to work that out.
Work it out. All right, we might just take a short little break and hear from one of the show's sponsors, and we'll be back with the listeners soon.
Hey, Glowgetters, have you heard about Kick-Ass Women? Founded by Jo Sainsbury, Kick-Ass Women is dedicated to empowering and supporting women who are considering a career change into an industry role. Visit our brand new website at www.kickasswomen.com.au or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook and LinkedIn today to keep up to date with all things Kick-Ass Women and the incredible opportunities and content we have for you. See you there, Glowgetters.
Okay, thanks for tuning back in, listeners, and we are getting our words worth with Hayley Aylott. So Hayley's a copywriter and a brand strategist. Now, in your profession there, Hayley, how do you keep up to date with the current trends and the current market demands? Do you participate in a lot of professional development or within your industry networks there?
Yeah, great question. So like I said before, I'm part of the Clever Copywriting School. So that's a membership that I'm a part of. And there's trainings and workshops and loads of different things online that Kate Toon provides. Mm-hmm. And it's a really great network of people to kind of work alongside, learn from, and just kind of see what everyone else is up to and how everyone else kind of works, and as well as, like I say, those trainings of keeping up to date with different aspects of copywriting and how to upskill and such things. That's been an amazing source of information for me that I use daily. Literally I'm logging on daily, because you can go back and look at all the trainings from previous years as well. So that's an amazing
great resource.
Absolutely.
So tell us about a time you've championed your way out of the corporate world and conforming to the norm, like stepping out of your comfort zone. Was there anything or one particular instance that you thought I just had to get out?
Yeah, so like I say, mental health is something that's really, you know, important to me, and it's something that, you know, I've dealt with personally. And in my last job role, I was definitely creeping back into my anxiety and stuff, just through, you know, the job itself wasn't quite right for me. I just knew that I needed to do something different, to make sure that I was keeping well. The opportunity came around for me to start my business, and I was like, you know, I need to do something different. That's how I got into my business, how it is. As well, I feel like that starting a business is something that I've always wanted to do. But it's always been pretty scary as well, like a scary move, and not something that a lot of people in my circle have done. So I, you know, that kind of setback of, oh, is it the right thing to do? Am I, you know, throwing everything away that I know to start something that I'm not sure is going to work? There was a lot of, you know, kind of things that I was worried about to start with. And just being in the corporate space, I've worked out is not for me. It's, you know, I like to have the flexibility of working for myself and that like work-life balance that I'm really striving for. Obviously, running a business is really hard.
It is.
Some days you don't get that work-life balance. But you know, you can kind of, you know, if you really do want to take a break, you can, you don't have to ask anyone. Yeah, and just being your own boss is really empowering to me as well. And not having to necessarily abide by the rules and do what you want to do is something that not being put in a box. I think, you know, in previous roles I was definitely put in a box.
I was just about to say, within those roles, did you ever find yourself standing amongst the tall poppies? Like, that's the term we use for imposter syndrome here in Australia. I'm not too sure whether you've heard of that term, yes. Tall poppies. So, you know, what's your take on imposter syndrome? Did you actually become a tall poppy at any stage there? Were you comparing yourself or being put down when you were trying to start out as a copywriter?
Not necessarily in my copy, not necessarily in my business, but definitely in the corporate space. Being quite young in marketing and some of my colleagues and managers were a lot older than me. I was pretty young, and being in marketing, you know, I wanted to always kind of come in and change things and mix things up a little bit. And yeah, I did have some crazy ideas, and some people would just be like, what is she doing? Like, what is she trying to do? This is not how we do things.
Washing you back into that box, were they trying to?
Yeah, absolutely. And say, you know, feeling like, so I would feel like, oh, maybe, you know, I shouldn't do that or shouldn't say that. And, you know, I don't have a lot of experience. And that was always something that was in the back of my mind. Like, oh, well, you know, I'm still pretty new. I don't have as experience as everyone else. And, you know, now I just don't think like that. I just think it doesn't matter how old or young you are. It doesn't matter how much experience you have. It just matters about how passionate and willing you are to do what you do and to make it work and to get people on board. I think, yeah, there's so much things about age and you know, it really frustrates me how people just see young people as lacking experience, where it's like, well, they're here and they're eager to learn, and just let them go and do that.
And I think, you know, when people are putting in all the work behind the scenes, you know, the stuff that isn't Instagrammable and which makes up the foundation for the success, and you do those things because you're driven by passion and by a greater sense of purpose, and you want to contribute or give back to the community. So it's not to say that it won't still hurt if people, you know, do put you down or they don't celebrate your wins with you.
Yes.
Of course it does, and we're only all human. But as much as possible, we've got to remember why we started in these roles and in our businesses, remember our vision, and you need to always surround yourself with people who love and support you unconditionally. But most of all, stand by your success. You've earned it. So always, always remember those points that you step out of those comfort zones for a reason.
Yes. And I think as well, like for me, I know that, you know, I did the traditional thing of going to university and then, you know, always sticking with what I knew, which was, you know, going to get into a job. And never going outside of that comfort zone. Mm. And that's why for me, you know, really starting a business was a massive, you know, I had to think long and hard about what I was doing, and the decision wasn't, you know, it wasn't an easy one for me, because I didn't know what was on the other side, and that was a really scary thing, whereas obviously I was throwing away security of the job. But like I say, I would never turn back, because there is a different path, and you don't have to follow the traditional path. I wish I could tell my younger self that, but you know,
I think we all do.
Don't follow what everyone else does.
So was there ever, and like you're still very young, so has there been any major challenges in your career? Like what's been your biggest professional failure, and what has it taught you? So has there been a major lesson that you've learnt throughout your journey so far?
Yeah, so obviously being in writing, obviously people may have something to say about your writing. You know, they might not think it's very good, or they might not, you know, you could send something to a client and they might say, oh, that's not what I expected, or that's not kind of what I envisioned. And obviously coming from a background in journalism, you know, I did get that a lot in my, you know, university degree as well. You know, some lecturers might say, you know, I didn't like that piece of work. And so I am used to criticism, but obviously when you run your own business, you take it very personally. So I've definitely come to learn that, people won't always like you or won't always like what you do, but it doesn't mean that you are not good enough or that you're a failure.
That's right.
I'm very much a perfectionist, so I want everyone to love what I do and appreciate, you know, all the things that I do. I've come to learn over the last 2-3 years that I've been in business that try not to be a perfectionist and take this to heart as well. Like, you know, see feedback. So obviously I'm now kind of incorporating feedback into everything that I do, and see that.
You need to seek feedback, because that's positive criticism and we all learn from that. And you need to treat it as positive criticism. And it's a learning curve. So definitely always seek that feedback. It's one of the biggest learning lessons. Yep.
Exactly. And it's how you grow. And I definitely see, like, owning failures. I don't see them as failures, see them as lessons. And I think that's something that I've definitely learned over the last 3 years, that, you know, if I fail in something, I'm not going to dwell on it and see it as a failure.
It's not the be-all, end-all.
Exactly. And keep going and keep doing what you're doing.
So how do you stay being true to who you are? Your authenticity.
Yeah. So I try and show up every day and keep it real. Like, I am who I am. I am, you know, I like to chat a lot. So, you know, if I end up chatting to people a lot more than you know, what meets, you know, then what should be in the brief and stuff, then that's fine. Like, I'm not gonna not be chatty, as well as working with people and brands who align with my own values. Like, when I started out, I was very much like, oh yeah, take me on, you know, I want to work with everyone and anyone. But now I'm kind of like, no, I only really want to work with people who align with my own values and visions. And that's purely because it's, you know, if I'm writing something, I have to kind of believe in what I'm writing. Otherwise, it's 10 times harder.
And that's your work ethic, and you need to have that. Yes.
Exactly. So that's me staying true to myself as well, is working with people who I, you know, if I don't agree with something, then I'm, you know, I shouldn't really work with them, right? As well as dancing and laughing often is something that I abide by, because I love dancing and I laugh pretty much every day. And if I'm not laughing, then something's wrong. So.
And it's so much easier being authentic. So if you're tempted to forget about being yourself, well, living up to that facade is so much harder. So definitely be yourself. And yes, great work ethic when you live in line with your values and with others, and surround yourself with others that are working alongside with you there. So is there anything you'd like to offer the listeners, or anything else you'd like to talk to us about or tell us about? Any parting advice?
So I'd say my parting advice would definitely, like I say, don't dim your light and only ever shine light. So be brave and bold at every given opportunity, and always share your story, because you never know who is listening or reading, and the impacts that it might have. So for me, I know that I've definitely read people's stories or listened to people's stories, and it's really had a massive impact on me and the way that I've shaped the way that I live my life. Because, yeah, there's people who are so inspiring, and when people share a story, even though it might be really raw and real, it's worth sharing, because, yeah, you never know how much that might impact someone.
And that's right. And we don't know, just the littlest bit of your story can be a major big impact on someone else. So it is always a good thing to share your story, and don't be afraid to do so.
No. And I think that's it. Like, I think it's, but you know, if you are a personal brand, sometimes you're like, oh, how much should I be saying about what I do and what I am and who I am and, you know, my partner or my dog or my cat, or, you know, how much is too much information? And I always say, you know, obviously we don't want to be knowing what you're eating for dinner every night.
Exactly.
We want to know a bit more about you and who you are and what you do behind the scenes, because, like I say, that human connection is so important. And people don't buy into a business, they buy into the person. So I truly believe that you can never share too much of your story, and people will always want to know more about who you are and where you, how you've got to where you are.
That's,
I think, that's, it's really powerful.
Yeah. And I had a little affirmation here which said, I think it's important for all creative people to experience the freedom of complete creative control. So make sure you create something just for you. It doesn't matter if it's great or if people like it or not. All that matters is it's yours. And like we said, not everyone has to like you, and you don't have to like everyone. Go with your flow and stick with your flow.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great quote.
All right, so we can we'll share your website links, your social media links up on under the show notes, and anyone that would like to reach out for Hayley for her professional service, by all means do so, and you can contact Hayley through those links that we'll share. We wish you all the best of luck, Hayley, in your business, and we can see that you're exceptionally gifted at it. And we'll be looking for your name in lots of areas there, and lots of referrals. We hear that you have been very well referred for your service and your content and copywriting. So that's it. I do hope that you've enjoyed our chat today, and we thank you very much for coming along.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's been a great conversation. Loved it.
All right then.
Hey, Glow Getters. Did you know that Jo Sainsbury is a published author for her book High Heels to High Viz and has been named an Amazon number one bestseller? Telling the story about Jo's transition from the corporate sector into industry, High Heels to High Viz acts as a guide for women who are considering a non-traditional role and career. High Heels to High Viz is available for purchase online at all leading bookstores, including Amazon, Dimmicks, Waterstones and eBay.
Well, that's it, guys. I do hope you've enjoyed our show and our guest. A very big special thank you to Hayley Aylott for sharing so much of this newfound and invaluable information with us. And I hope you have all found the information inspiring and it gives you something to ponder and perhaps action over the weekend. Maybe you will all consider taking up writing. Now, that's a bit of a fantastic creative idea. As you can see, there's a lot to learn when you're trying to grow your business. So you need good writing skills, but you need someone that knows and can listen to you and can share your journey and your vision. So it's important that you remain diligent to your purpose and your why, as Hayley said. So if you need a copywriting expert on your team, get in touch with Hayley for content that moves mountains, and I'm sure it does move mountains. As always, I really appreciate you guys giving me your time to listen to this radio show. You can find more information on the episode and Hayley in the show notes or on my social media pages, and we will share Hayley's website links and her social media links for all of you to get in touch with her. Reach out to me and follow me on Kick-Ass Women or Joe Sainsbury's social media pages if you haven't already. And I'd really love to hear from you guys. So show some love for Kick-Ass Radio Show by leaving me a review on BBS Radio Network. Well, that's all for today's show. Thanks for your company and for tuning in to Kick-Ass Radio. It's not goodbye, but see you later. Stay safe and well. Go crush it. Keep in touch. Foz comms. Go on, get your glow on. Become a glow getter.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Jo Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.